What's up, everybody? I'm JJ John Jastrzemski.
And I'm Jason Goff. And if you haven't heard, The Ringer has gone local.
I'm bringing the fire. I'm bringing the rain from the Big Apple with my show, New York, New York.
And I'm repping Chi-Town with my new show, The Full Goal, on all things Chicago.
We've got episodes 3 nights a week with all the reaction to the local teams and guests.
Plus bonus episodes around all the big games and storylines.
So whether you're uptown, downtown, in the burbs, or a transplant,
make sure you follow New York, New York, and The Full Goal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There you go. That's the first intro to the first podcast in the new studio.
Bro, I did it. Here's the thing, though. We can use that, but that's like built into this recorder.
I love it.
Do you think the audience will know, like, is they're going to listen to like 5 other podcasts today and like everyone else is using the exact same one?
Well, the first thing they're going to hear on ours is that guy JJ screaming about his podcast anyway. So that's always the intro to our podcast. Sports Cards Nonsense. We are back after a week off.
Do you feel like you've been off of this for
a year?
Like, yeah, it feels so foreign to me. And I was talking to my wife last night and I talked to you because after yesterday being in the office, getting stuff ready and I couldn't solve a problem for 6 hours, I said to myself, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I feel like I felt lost. I felt like nothing's going to work out. I need to go back to Dell. Dell popped in my head.
No, things are going well. The office is now set up. A studio is set up here. Jesse's got the soundboard going. We've got the mic set up. So we have not done a podcast in a while. I'm going to tell you right now, there's not going to be as much banter today.
Yes, there will.
We have major... I mean, I was all prepared to go run with this whole Jake Paul Pokemon thing and how it tied in with the authentication of collectibles in the sports world, because of the baseball card exchange being involved. But now, Fanatics bought Tops yesterday. So
Let me go ahead and share something with you and the audience.
Here we go.
So it's fair to say that we can officially announce Fanatics is buying Tops in Upper Deck and Panini then, right?
That's okay, what we got.
So we're good.
Yeah, we got I don't know what Wawa and Hackers is, and they're buying Tops and Panini, and we're good. Did you call the shot? You did.
I mean, I don't want to say I knew for certain when we talked to Josh Luber a couple months ago that was going to happen, but it basically was a yes. So.
I mean, it ties in with what he said, right? Evolution, not revolution.
Yep.
And he didn't think Fanatics would be making their own cards. So I would tell you this. I would ignore almost everything you hear on social media today. Today is just going to be nothing. Two things. People making useless, wild claims that they knew about this somehow magically, which is ridiculous.
Didn't we just make... I made that claim.
Yeah, but you said it. That's different.
That's true.
And the other thing is going to be, well, this is what's going to happen next. Obviously, this... Fanatics, by and large, has done this totally out of surprise, like surprised everybody with it, with the licensing deals first, mm-hmm. Now with the Topps acquisition. I would say this, the dumbest theory and statement I keep seeing is Panini is now dead. Panini still exclusively has baseball and football for the next 5 years. Football and basketball.
Yeah.
The fact that you corrected me there is so disturbing.
So good.
They also have a huge presence in baseball, although not licensed.
Yeah.
They're getting into soccer. UFC. Panini is not going anywhere. Will Panini get bought out? I was told by someone last night there's no chance of that. I was said off the record, so that's fine. That's no names, but there you go.
Can you say it if it's off the record?
If you don't say a name, right? It has to be your bull.
It has to be your
bull. Is that right? I don't think Panini's getting sold to them, but if that happened like tomorrow... At this point, nothing's, I guess that's my thing, but Panini is still the only basketball and football manufacturer.
Can we say this though? Cause I know people are going to start shouting this out. Yes. Panini is sponsoring a portion of the YouTube show. Like
yes, there's which drops tomorrow.
That's going to come out tomorrow. We're very excited about it. Would we say this either way?
Yeah. It doesn't change anything at all.
And that's so
the
hard
only
to
difference
say,
is now
it is. I know from everybody's point of like, not everybody, but you know, the clowns who are out there listening to certain people who say like, oh, influencers are the devil and they only say what they get paid to say. I don't think that is necessary.
That's a fact.
That's not necessary of everyone, but it is very true in a lot of cases.
That is not an opinion. That is a fact that Panini has the exclusive licenses for the next number of years.
But that's the thing. That's my when I talked to you about this last night, I'm like, should we be nervous at all about this? And you said that. And I was like,
oh, I'm not worried at all.
Absolutely. We have three more. It doesn't matter what anything they do. Unless
45
they buy them
more
out.
Years. Yeah, 4 more years. So what does it mean for the actual top space? I am going to do something today that I generally don't do when these announcements happen because I hate it.
High five me?
We're going to high five and then we're going to speculate a little bit. Oh, I mean, so they've bought tops.
I have so many sounds to play for us as we do this.
He literally is giddy.
Can we do like a, we're so out of touch. We didn't even do like a review or a big
doing a review. That's it. We're just getting
I have a thing.
All right. Jesse's going to do his review thing. Then I'm going to give you, here's what's coming after the review is what I think this, what my take is on what this means, which is as useless as everybody else's take.
Actually, the review is not really much. We're going to talk about the tops.
You want to do big picture?
The tops fanatics. We're going to talk about the Pokemon.
Just briefly.
What's his name? I can't hear Logan. Jake Paul.
Logan Paul.
Logan. One of the Pauls. One of the
Pauls. My middle name is Paul.
And then we're going to do a little bit of card talk with some mailbag at the end. Now, the only reason I wanted to do the review was so that I could do this.
Big picture.
You record? I like it.
I may need to make that louder.
Big picture.
There we go.
It was better the second time.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do I think this means? Again, in my world, I think you're going to continue to see certain brands. There's some different stuff with the whole Bowman thing because it's not a PA product. I'm not going to get into the specifics there because I don't have a firm understanding, but there is some talk that the Bowman license may not be renewable to put team logos on their product. I think money solves almost every issue you could come up with. So I think in a perfect world when Fanatics really, and we don't have a date with this either.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that too. So
yeah, I was going to say, let's give mention me the details what that means. Of the
deal. Yep.
Basically the overall deal is not for Topps entirely. It is for Topps, the trading card portion of the company.
Not the candy or gift card line.
Yes, it says it will include Topps name in sports and entertainment division, not candy or card. So that's why they're saying roughly $500 million when before they were saying it was worth $1 billion.
I actually heard $1.6 billion and then it got taken down. So what does it mean for Topps? Obviously, it means we're going to continue to see Topps products. I think that's huge. Everybody was so terrified. Even though Luber said he doesn't foresee Fanatics making cards or their name on a card. Well, now all of a sudden things like Topps Chrome, hopefully Bowman, I don't know, Triple Threads, all these different brands just in baseball. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But what to me is, and you're not going to remember, this is before your time, but Topps Chrome basketball is unbelievable.
LeBron?
Yeah, like okay. LeBron. But they had Topps Chrome up until, well, and even past Curry. Curry may have been the last year, but that was a huge thing. Topps Finest, Stadium Club. These were huge brands I grew up with in basketball and football that have been gone for years because they lost the license. That to me is amazing. If they're going to bring back iconic brands like that, I think that is awesome. That is how you keep, and that's how you fight against this culture of, well, Fanatics is new and they're coming in, we're boycotting them. Well, you're also now going to boycott Topps. I don't know that every brand comes along, but this is a huge, to me, this is a huge move to make that just says, hey, we're coming in again, what Luber said. And let me just be clear. What Luber said here, and he said it here first, unlike these other hacks with podcasts who are claiming he was breaking news with them a month after he talked here.
Fair.
He said, we are coming into evolution, not revolution.
Yes.
I think that's exactly what this move is. We're going to build out these brands. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see them continue to expand on the Topps existing brand. And if you're bringing those brands back to football and basketball, that's a win for the hobby.
I think it's really exciting just in the sense that what this shows to me is that they're ready to move. Because when we talked to Luber, he said that there would be a card produced by them next year.
In 2022.
Yeah, in this year. I mean, and that... And it, 2022 is now. That means like we could see anything in the next few months to, I'd be surprised if they wait till the end of the year. But what that also means to me is like they're ready to get going. And if you're going to get going, I feel like you need more than baseball, like especially if something happens and that we're still on strike.
Well, hang on. They can't get going with more than baseball.
Well, that's what I mean. So that's what I'm getting to is like, so it does make me wonder. I know you said there's no buyout opportunity, but it does make me wonder. Is there going to be some kind of licensing agreement that they make with Panini?
Before
they get the deal.
I mean, it's possible. That's the other thing I would say. Anything is possible with this stuff. I think this has a major impact, though, too. It's obviously not super easy to go out and get Topps Chrome, Topps Finest, all these brands because they've been discontinued for so long. If those come back on the market, like as a collector, I don't know how you're not excited about this. Yeah. I just, when those things happen, them taking over baseball, I hope baseball just stays pat the rest of the year. Like, I hope Topps keeps running it in-house, keeps doing their thing. I think they've done a good job. I like how things are going. I question how they'll use distribution for baseball. But again, I don't know if they're willing to come in day one. And we don't know when this deal takes effect either.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'm confident will happen is nothing. When they did the whole licensing deal, which was the biggest news in the history of sports cards, we didn't hear anything official from anybody.
That's true.
I mean, honestly, the email that we read live on Instagram, again, at the time was breaking news.
That was most that had come out.
6 weeks after?
At least. That's why I know we had reached out immediately to Topps. Nobody's talking. To Luber. We reached out. And we talked to a guy at Topps. He specifically said, can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then we reached out to Fanatics, the company. I reached out to them on Instagram.
I reached out to Luber, too.
Yeah.
And we emailed.
And his personal...
His partner in business.
In business.
I guess.
AC.
Yep.
Lovely person. Haven't heard back from anybody. That means I think we're in for another, you know, I hope it's not 6 weeks, but we're going to have a little bit of time, I think, before we get more details. Now, that all that being said, there's already speculation, even in this like article from CNBC that came out last night, that there's going to be more news coming out today.
Which they said that last time, by the way.
So who knows if that's actually true or not. But by the time you listen to this, maybe do a quick Google search to see if there's anything else out there.
I would be very surprised if we hear anything else more. I just don't see it. Scroll down just a little bit on this too, because the next paragraph to me is interesting. Fanatics will also obtain rights to Major League Soccer, UEFA. Oh,
yeah. Do you know what that is, by the way?
Bundesliga. These are all soccer. Bundesliga, yes. Formula One.
Formula One, which will be big.
Though, and it says those leagues have agreements with Topps. I don't know if those are exclusive. I mean, I don't think soccer is exclusive with Topps because Panini makes soccer.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But, you know, so what does this mean? Again, I just think it's an interesting move. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have been making claims that, hey, we're going to see acquisitions, not see acquisitions. I'm impressed with how quietly Fanatics makes baller moves, quite frankly. Honestly, that's my biggest thing.
I kind of get that same feeling of like, oh, they know that they have the money that they don't need to make it a big deal. Like, they don't need to make the announcement and put themselves out in headlines. Granted, they know it's already going to happen because already other stories are leaking. And granted, too, Sportico, I don't know if it was Sportico or Wall Street Journal, which one came first, but they both said something about the same time last night. You know, they're also saying something to them so that they have these articles ready to go. But other than that, going out to anybody else.
But last time, the only reason I talked to the guy at the Wall Street Journal, I forget his name. The only reason that happened is because he works in the finance department,
mm-hmm.
and they were told about it because it was a purchase of the SPAC or the SPAC was canceled.
Oh.
And it wasn't anything specific on the sports side of things. I think that's kind of what this is.
Well, you know, you raise a good point, because as I was reading through the CNBC article and what I read in the Wall Street Journal, there's really not a lot of facts in there. A lot of it's just
same as the last
$500 million thing is like, it says, but industry sources put the deal roughly at $500 million.
I don't know who that would be, because this is a very closed circuit. And there's even people in this industry who claim to be sources. I don't think anybody has a real handle on this thing. So we're not going to talk about this much more after today either, until we see facts. If Josh wants to give us any detail, somebody from Fanatics, if we want to get an email from an unnamed person again at Fanatics, that would be awesome.
Very cool.
The only other thing I would say from Fanatics, just do me a favor. Don't sign content. This came up the other day too, yesterday. You know, the next move, logically, we're going to get content creators in this space. Please don't. There are so many hacks with microphones.
Wait, who said this?
This is just a speculation. Some of the big clubhouse rooms yesterday.
Oh,
please do not go out and sign content creators. I don't need other idiots talking about me. And Jesse are dumb enough for the masses. That's very fair. It's very fair. So, that's it. Huge news to come back to. I'm not going to do an hour episode on it. That's it. There's nothing else to say unless we're going to just get stupid deep dives down rabbit holes that may never even exist. So
there is part of me that kind of wants to, but yeah, I agree with you. Like, at this point, we've already said all there is to say. And like you said, guys, if you're speculating already, Mike put this in perspective for me too last night. And I realized he's absolutely right. I hate admitting that.
Why are your eyes closed?
Because I was realizing I kept stuttering over those last few words. And I was like, okay, I need to focus up. The thing I realized was that every time something like this happens, it is like groundbreaking, earth-shattering news until a few days later or a week later. And then it's like not even talked about.
Yeah. And I just avoid it after this, because again, I just think then it turns into blinds. And everybody, well, my source told me.
Yeah.
I just think our sources, because of that connection with Simmons and other people we've come in contact with, I think our sources are as strong as most.
Yeah.
And when they are all definitely telling me there's nothing else to say right now, it just means people aren't talking. People who know are not talking. So
okay,
that's it. When details come out, we're happy to talk about it. We'll break it. We're going to follow up as much as we can and try to get an actual source to speak on it. I am excited. When the first Fanatics deal with the licensing happened, immediately I was like, oh God, what is going to happen? Everything is shifting. This move, actually almost nothing but stabilizes and makes me happy.
Yeah, fair.
Jesse has now changed the picture on this.
So oh, me and actually, Jesse- actually, hang on. Before we, sure. before I go to this, there is one thing I was going to mention to you was that I sent you this picture that I think it was, who put this up? Gem Mint? Is it GE Mint, the Instagram handle? I don't remember. Gemint. I never know how to pronounce it, but they put out good content. Bottom line is they copied something from Forbes. Forbes had put out a few questions for the new year of sports cards. These were the three cards, or I'm sorry, the three questions for the new year. This came out a few days ago, not yesterday. It said, how will NFTs merge into the fabric of sports card collectibles?
Continues to grow.
I want to talk about these for a second. How will NFTs merge? Will sports card market maintain its momentum into 2022? And then the third one, will Fanatics pick up Tops before 2022 ends?
Can I make a serious suggestion? If you could lower your voice, but lean in closer to the microphone. I am hearing a little bit of echo around.
Oh, are you?
Yep. Not bad.
Okay.
That's but I think you could speak quieter, but directly into the mic.
How's that?
Oh, man. You just caught our audience.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I think we're good now.
I think we could do ASMR. We could do ASMR.
I don't know what that means. Okay.
You don't know about ASMR, bro? Okay.
This is better now. You're talking quieter, but I'm hearing you clearer and louder. I love it.
But I did want to talk about these three questions. So,
NFTs?
Let's just answer the first one because we're already talking about it. Will Fanatics pick up Tops before 2022 ends? How would Forbes know to put that question out?
I mean, everybody has done that, though. That's the thing. Like Ken Golden talked about this Friday night with Chris Hoge and the Card Ladder folks, like live on Instagram, because he had a business deal going with Topps. And he said all of a sudden they came, he confirmed this last night when I was live with him. Like all of a sudden, talks had to come to a halt legally. He's like, so I knew there was some sort of an acquisition going on. It's the only reason that kind of stuff happens.
Okay.
You know, I mean, even like Jeff Wilson, that was his bold prediction for 2022.
Yeah.
We said the same thing a month ago, 2 months ago. We thought they might acquire, maybe they do. I'm just kind of at this point, I think everybody was speculating because you've got a giant in the industry who chief vision officer, whatever, the guy who's going to be in charge.
Yeah.
Josh has said specifically, we're not going to get into the making and manufacturing of cards. So you have to
You have to think, of course that meant they were going to buy somebody. What other option would there be?
There's only two options. There's Topps and Panini. I just don't think Upper Deck is selling. I've heard that from guys who know much more about that company, and there's nobody else out there to buy. Who makes any sense. So,
okay. Well, let's hit the other two questions then, and then we'll go on to the next subject. So, we'll just go back up the ladder. Will the sports card market maintain its momentum in 2022?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. It is on the slight, upscale of momentum right now. I think we can maintain this, but I don't think we're going to see anything like the start of 2021. Where everything spikes. I don't think we'll see anything like that in 20. That was my stupid bold prediction on one of the shows we did a month ago. I think 2022 is just going to be the year. And by the way, this is going to sound like stuff you've heard this week. We said this months ago. I just don't think you're going to see crazy spikes. I think you're going to see on-court performance,
be much more of a factor.
Be much more of a factor than just stupid blind hype. And, all of a sudden a rush because influencers have talked about cards. People got burned doing that. Mm-hmm. The market wasn't sustainable like that. We're not going to see it again.
I would tend to agree with you unless there is a catalyst that pushes something ahead. Because, if anybody is still a fan of the Josh Luber white paper that came out, I go back to that. And he pointed out a few times that he doesn't view that all of the things, the stimulus checks, COVID, sports cards already starting to come back. He didn't really view any of that as a factor as to why we saw such a huge boom. Mm-hmm. I do tend to agree with that, which makes me think like, is there really a stimulus that could change this? And the only thing I can think of
social influence.
That's what I was going to. Yep. Yeah.
And that's what we saw in connection. The other thing though, is we saw people lose physical communities. So they had to become part of an online community.
Yeah.
Directly affected spend. No question. I don't think we see anything like that in 2022. Well, even if the pandemic keeps going crazy like it is now and things lock down again, yeah. Because a lot of people got burned with that. They either had to sell at a loss or they're holding assets that are not what they thought they were going to be. Well, I just don't think we see it.
The only thing I think about is in the stock market where guys will buy in. Like when I say guys, I mean like hedge funds, people with a lot of money will buy into a company that they don't buy a few shares. They buy millions, if not billions of dollars. If it goes down, there's typically like
cost averaging.
Well, it's not just that I don't want to say market manipulation, I feel like there's always market manipulation when it comes to anyone spending that kind of crazy money. Okay. And I say that to say, if there's anybody out there who is holding millions of dollars worth of cards, like, can they have a possibility? If not that Gary Vee is going to do this, but if Gary Vee has all the Jordans like he wants to collect, can he manipulate that market into making it look like Jordans are now coming, like they're much more expensive? And then if that's the case, a lot of people consider that as like the tracer card for the rest of the market. If that's going up, does that mean everything else? And then, you know, we lose out. I don't want to be like the negative Nancy. I just want to put out like, hey guys, be cautious. If you do see things start to go up, don't think like this is going to be another huge spike that's going to stay forever. I would say if you are underwater on your investments and you see a huge spike, take the first opportunity to get out.
I know you can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed? And the answer to that,
I'm saying,
we learned specifically, I think you can.
I think you can.
So you didn't know that line. That's okay.
I didn't. God, you love 10 things ahead about you. I
will also tell you the next show, which we're doing 2 days from today, we'll be back to our banter. This is a little bit more business because this is some big stuff.
Here's the thing too. I have two different intros. I've got that intro and I've got two more that I wanted to try.
The biggest event is not Fanatics buying Tops.
Wait, there was one last question.
Oh, please.
How will NFTs merge into the fabric of sports card collectibles?
This is weird. In 2022, you're interrupting me. And you're making more sense.
I'm just trying to focus us.
NFT, I just think we see it keep growing. People like NFTs. Like I don't, and people really, really hate NFTs.
Yeah.
But I don't think the guys who like it care. I just don't.
Honestly, I do think it's kind of fun. Like we've talked about.
I still rip the packs. We're going to rip packs tomorrow on the YouTube show.
Yeah.
Sports cards nonsense, by the way. That's where we're going to do our NFT rips, real rips. We'll have guests. We'll have golden items on there. A bunch of Panini stuff, and we'll do freebies and crap. So subscribe. Ooh, and
we
get to
have like, we'll have like people in the field stuff. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. It'll be fun.
Yes. Live correspondence at card shows in the field to kind of get the market sense.
But here's a fun fact for anybody listening to the podcast and wants to also take in some YouTube. None of the content, well, for the most part, will overlay. Like we're going to keep podcast and YouTube separate.
Correct.
We don't want it to be like, oh, you have to listen to one or the other. Listen to all three. Have a fun time.
Don't listen to any of them. I don't know.
that's also
bigger often. Than okay. Fanatics bigger. Buying Tops. I bought Jesse the latest Folklore, the name of the album, Taylor Swift, autographed. Will be displayed front and center at the YouTube show tomorrow.
Can I say that this...
You thought it was fake.
I still wonder if it's fake.
It's not fake.
Because it's covered in cellophane.
From the website. Her website.
Oh, so she signed these.
Yep.
How much did you pay for this?
$25. I got a deal from a buddy. He bought a bunch. He's like, I was like, this is for Jesse.
Really?
He dominated her in a talent show.
Finish that sentence. It was a you have the high school talent.
You're interrupting and you have the wit. This in-person thing has... you know what the problem is?
Weird.
Jesse's a much larger human than me.
Oh God, I hope there's video.
I'm also sitting in a chair that is built for a normal table, but the table we have is kind of a high top.
Yeah.
So I could basically rest my chin on the table.
It's a really fun
Ronick,
look.
I hope we get one... And Ronick's not here at all.
Don't forget, occasionally look into this camera. The one with the red light.
I also hope we get one video clip from the show. So you can see how laughable it is. You can't see me. I'm just like a child.
He's really little and it's really adorable. Thank you, by the way, for the Taylor Swift CD. I think that is really sweet.
I noticed on that.
I don't have a CD player anywhere.
You don't play that.
Okay. I was...
It's a display item.
I'm keeping in the cell phone.
What's a parental advisory? What's that? What's she saying on there?
When did that start happening?
I thought... Clean it up, Taylor.
How can my daughter listen to Taylor Swift anymore?
I'll tell you that right now.
Ooh, some of these look pretty good though. I haven't listened to her new album. All right. We'll check it out later. We'll check it out. Before we jump in, yeah. Do you have anything else? Do you want to banter at all or do you just want
to
jump?
We're done with Tops. I don't force banter. So no, we're done with the Fanatics deal. I think we go to the Pokemon deal.
Let's do the Pokemon.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. 'Tis crunchy yet soft. 'Tis filling yet has a hole. 'Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
So let me just recap the story. Logan Paul bought this case, first edition sealed Pokemon case, not box, that was authenticated by, get the name of the company. Is it BCE, Baseball Card Exchange? I feel like there's another letter.
It's BCCE, I believe, but I'll double check it real quick.
Baseball Card Exchange. In sports cards with wrapping boxes, like they will investigate boxes of these actually sealed products, and they will then put their wrap on them to let you know this is a sealed product. So this dude, Logan Paul, not Jake Paul, bought this for $3.5 million off of Shine, who's a huge Instagram guy. Shine paid $2.7 million from some dude named Jacob or Card Kahuna. Ridiculous name. Him and Mealy Pops, who's a huge shop, bought this thing together.
How do you have this memorized so well?
I actually invested because I thought this was going to be our lead story yesterday until I found out Spotify had a made-up holiday. I don't even know what the holiday was, by the way. I have no clue.
A lot of corporations, they carry this. If the holiday's on a weekend, they still give the holiday to their employees. They just carry it over. But typically, they only if it's a Sunday, they give Monday off. And if it's a Saturday, they give Friday off. So I'm kind of surprised they gave Monday.
They had Friday off. Week off last week.
Oh, not every. No, we just didn't have it because everyone was taking time off.
Let's not interrupt the order here. Let me just.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. If you look through the details of this, off the site too, which I've actually a number of people in the TCG game have said me has told me is a very reputable site, pokebeach.com. And there was a YouTube guy, Rattle Pokemon. We tried to have him on. He big timed us, which is ridiculous, but that's fine.
He was nice about it.
He was. I've got to say, in his first couple of videos, he actually just presented some interesting facts and evidence. The conclusion of the matter is, sounds like Logan Paul and Shine are going to fly out to BCE, cut the thing open to investigate, are these even real? What people, I think, missed is this was touted as the only original sealed case. When you then go and cut this open to investigate, it is not an original seal. I don't think that should affect the value, but it's going to greatly affect the value. You start doing some research into the backlog of this case, though. Some dude in Canada said he found this in his attic when he bought a new house. The story also changed a little bit. He would also not allow someone to come and investigate this in person. It sold at the end of March on eBay for like $72,000.
Yep.
The deal fell through. Like this, I think the buyer was just like, this is shady.
Wait, at the end of what month?
End of March.
So March of this year, it was $72,000 and the deal didn't even go through.
Correct.
Okay.
Jacob and Mealy Pops, I don't know the financials between them. I hadn't reached out to either one of those two either on here. They're welcome to join us on Instagram if there's something different to say. Looks like they bought the case. Then they are the ones who took it to BCCE to have it wrapped. Here's where it gets weird.
So it is Baseball Card Exchange, but I've seen the BCCE places, but I can't find it now.
So here's what's weird. In some of these YouTube videos and the clips, and I understand things can be edited as well, but BCCE did also publicly say on their website at one point in an announcement, and maybe this has been taken down, that they are not really an authority on TCG.
Oh.
Why are you taking...
Trading card games.
Yep. Yeah, so Pokemon. So they are the authority on baseball, sporting cards, no question. But that makes me wonder, so then why would their wrap have any value here? The other thing is, it looks like some barcodes are different. The toning on the label looks totally different than other examples. I mean, to the fact, obviously there's some smoke and fire here because there's some fire where there's smoke because these guys are going to cut this thing open. I also want, like, so they bought the case. You know, it looks like, too, the labeling on the barcode might be wrong. I really question the authenticity of this thing. We'll know when it gets cut open, but it just seems kind of shady. I really think there's some nonsense happening here.
I $3.5 million is just...
I got to tell you this, though. To his credit, I don't know who Shine is. I know he's a huge investor, collector in sports cards. The dude came out immediately and was like, I will refund Logan if this thing is fake.
Which is awesome.
I have not heard the same from Jacob and Mealy Pops. Maybe they've said it because they sold it to him for $2.7
million. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be very interested. If this thing's fake, who is left holding the bag here?
Dude, it is kind of scary. But at the same time, if you have that, like, this is the best case scenario is to have the publicity behind it so that you can go and say, you know, I can either ruin you by if you don't give me my money back because everybody knows what happened, mm-hmm. or you can just be the good guy, the upstanding guy, and give me the money back because you sold me a bad case.
Here's option number three. Logan and Shine get together with their massive media, social media followings and just make an event out of this. And it makes enough to cover the majority of the money. I honestly think that's another one of these.
Well, I think they're going to do that anyways, right? Well, I mean, they're getting together to actually open it. I think in that will be something like there's going to be some kind of media around it.
Oh, no question. I just at the end of the day, the authentication to me.
Yeah.
I also wonder if this is fake. Does BCCE cover the damages? Because if I take this somewhere to get authenticated.
So that's a good question. What is okay, so Baseball Card Exchange, tell us what they do. Because I know we've talked about it a long time ago.
They literally inspect boxes or packs, or in this case, a case. Is it authentic, according to them? And they put their wrap on it. So then you know, okay, it's been sealed authentic. I mean, say what you want about PSA. To PSA's credit, if they grade a card and it comes out to be fake later, but it's in their holder, they authenticated it, they will buy the card back. If I'm BCE, I'm coming out today being like, hey, we have to stand behind this. This is on us if it doesn't go through.
It makes me wonder if they've got like some kind of insurance policy that says like, because I mean, this is a huge, that's like a huge thing. Like if you're guaranteeing things, but I mean, maybe there isn't a guarantee. Maybe it doesn't say
I get just your think money there's back. A lot of black guys that come out of this. I think, again, I don't know the dude at all. Shine to me comes out. Shining is your pun for you because he came right out. Hey, if it's not fake, no problem. We're going to look and make it right. Jesse's reaching for the board. You hitting buttons?
See, I'm going to work on the timing of those, but great. They work.
I mean, the fact that he came right out, and I have nothing against Logan Paul in the situation. I have no idea. You know, I'm sure he has some authorities that tried to help him and, you know, or people involved.
You would think.
Shine has said, hey, if it's not real, you get your money back. I question the other people involved in this deal. The other reason, too, I have a bit of an issue is I then started to look into this Card Kahuna guy, and he is really vocal about... Pause, Ronick. He is really vocal about, okay, there's videos with him and Sasha. Hey, the PSA 10 Charizard is $1 million card. Pokemon to the moon. This, they said specifically, this case is going to be $10 million. The guys, at least from what I have seen, do nothing but pump up Pokemon and do nothing but sell their biggest pieces. If you think this is a $10 million case in a couple of years, why would you sell it to Shine for $2.7? That doesn't make sense. And then the guy talks openly about how wealthy they are. Well, I mean, I'm not as wealthy as him. Yeah. I have enough money where if I think an asset is going to 5X and that 5X happens to be $8 million, I'm not going to sell it. I think this is actually a great example of... This is just what I think happened.
Okay.
I don't know Mealy Pops either. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have nothing. But I think this is an opportunity where these guys, again, that especially the Card Kahuna dude, let's pump the crap out of this product. Let's pump everything up for months. All of a sudden, we get a case. We take it to somebody who has a great reputation in a related field, sports cards, even though they do not in TCG.
Yeah.
Let's have them wrap it. And just by doing that wrap, I can then sell it for 10X what I paid or 20X. Because if you just saw the case... The other issue is if everybody in the Pokemon world was talking about this months ago in March and April, if they know that this case only sold for $72,000 and the guy, his story has changed.
That is the weirdest.
Yeah, his story has changed. He's not letting people come and authenticate the thing for him. You can't go and inspect it as the buyer. He ships it to you uninsured. Now the only caveat to the insurance thing is I have heard since COVID other sellers in Canada have told me getting insurance on shipping is almost impossible.
Oh, huh?
For that kind of money, get in a car and drive it over the border.
Fair.
I really just question this whole, I just think it's a train wreck.
So here's the thing that happens sometimes is when there's so much mounting evidence to where it's so obvious, like that it wouldn't seem to be real, that it makes me think people know something we don't. And because when you're talking about the money part, like that would be a big red flag. When you're talking about the simple case that on the outside of this case, the barcodes say one thing and they know what the barcode should say and they don't say that, that's another, like, that these are obvious things that, oh, this is probably not that. So why would you buy it? So my thing is, do they know something that we don't? The buyers who bought it and sold it, does it turn out to be real authentic thing? Because how in the world would you go forward knowing these basic pieces of information?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm excited to see what actually happens. I want to see them open it.
And that's the thing. I want to see what happens. Either way, though, the fact that there is this much suspicion, because now guys say, well, what if he opens it and it's real? No issue. Yeah, it is an issue, because this was touted by, again, those guys who sold it as the only sealed case, original seal. It cannot stay originally sealed now because you've left all these question marks. So whether the thing is real or not, your biggest selling point was that, and that is not factual anymore. Where I struggle. So
do you think, even though it's not original seal, like, and this goes for anything, like any product that has, because would you say this is the same for the sports card world as well, right? If that's originally sealed case of 2003 Topps Chrome basketball.
Of course, huge money.
That's much more money than if it was like, just you had all the boxes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The sealed cases is a huge thing. And when that is your number one selling point, and that is no longer the case.
But do you think in cases like this, where there's so much publicity around it, that you can say, hey, this is the opened case that everybody talked about?
Yeah. And that's why, again, if this was just a stunt from the beginning, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, great marketing by Logan and everybody else, because who's not going to want to see this thing? I don't care about Pokemon.
Yeah.
They're going to go live and do it. I mean, the guy's a marketing genius.
Yeah.
I mean, like, good for him if that was your plan from the beginning. Again, my only concern here is if you're BCE or whatever, Baseball Card Exchange, there's no way you were in on this from the beginning, because quite frankly, I think they come out looking the worst.
Yeah, that's...
The original two guys, I just think if there's a deal that's that way, way too good to be true, some common sense would tell me to stay away from it. I have no differing opinion on Logan. I don't. It doesn't change anything, negative or positive. And I think the Shine dude comes out looking like a stand-up dude. I sold you this. If it doesn't work out, I will refund you. That's it. Nothing else to say. Check out the other crap on that if you want to hear more. I don't know why you would. That's exhausting.
You know all the information. Wow. Okay. We've covered like the two main things we wanted to talk about. Hoops released Friday. Whole stuff.
I've got so that. Weird. We go from those two things. To, how far in are we?
Wait. You know what? Here's an opportunity for a little banter. Guys.
Don't force your banter.
It's not a force. All right, so you guys all heard the opening intro. Let me play it again for anybody who's not aware. All right.
Here's my fear, though. All right. They already have an open. You're saying you want to replace... There's going to be an open to the open?
I can give this to Ronick, and he can officially make this the open if we wanted it to.
Can Ronick make that decision? Is that his call?
Like, this is one of those where you act first and then beg for forgiveness. Yeah.
Not permission.
There it is.
I would prefer this as opposed to the Beach Boys thing.
Here's a follow-up.
Okay. Oh, I actually like
this
that.
This is not the old one that we used to have, though.
It's got to tune out quick, though. Don't. That's it. You're too long. I actually like that the best. If we could do that one? For like 3 seconds.
Well, sometimes it's not all about you. I want to hear what the audience has to say. Last one.
Horrible. Get that
a
off.
A little dubstep, though?
Get it off right now.
Okay, so like probably not the third one.
Ronick,
all right, first or second, I would like to know what the audience also has to say. But I agree with, honestly, I like them both.
If we ask Ronick right now, too, you just can't say one word.
Oh, perfect. Ronick's not here with us. I don't know if we ever mentioned
we
that.
We did.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not here with us.
All right.
There's a little bit of banter for you. Do you want to go into all the baseball?
We don't even have
it on here.
You know what else is on here that we did? It's not on here. We didn't talk about the Mint Collective. The big show we were going to at the end of January has been postponed until the last weekend in March. It is now the 25th to the 27th in March.
What do you think about that? I'm okay with that, because honestly, I feel like it was coming up so fast and the COVID thing.
They just said it's because of COVID restrictions coming up. So, I'm fine with it. I tell you my one, I hope I know some of those guys listen. I finally dug into that schedule. We are on a panel on Sunday, I think, together.
Yeah.
It's like 2 or 3 panels happening at the same time. Mint Collective people don't have competing panels. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, it's different subjects, though.
Why are they at the same time, though?
Because you have so many people coming. You have to.
Get rid of some of these speakers. Did you look at this list?
Here's the thing. I've been to many corporate events, and this is just how they do it. Like, they do it the same thing at, like, comic conventions and all that. You have different panels going on because you have so many people there. They got to do it. There's not enough time.
It's a terrible idea, but that's fun.
I don't think it's terrible. Here's one thing you can think about.
Yep.
What if there are multiple panels going on and we have the biggest audience? Wouldn't that make you feel something?
What if we have the smallest audience?
Well, don't think.
Okay.
That's all right. Well, don't think about that.
You know what?
That won't happen.
The glass looks half empty to me.
I'm going to wear a beard, a fake beard, and a bald cap.
I don't know what to say to that.
I'm just going to come back from that.
I did want to run one thing past you, though.
Okay.
There is a huge show in Atlanta last week of February. Would you be down to take a day trip out there?
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to go to Atlanta.
Just for a day.
Let me just check our... Can I ask you a question? Oh, my goodness. Right as I'm pulling up my calendar.
What?
There is a person who found me through the show who is trying to catfish me.
I don't know what that means.
They're just trying to act like they're somebody. And they are not.
Hey, off camera. Is it Taylor? It's
not. We don't know. We don't know if it's Taylor or not.
Is this serious?
Yeah. And I keep messing with them. They're like, what are you doing over the weekend? I'm like, well, my family was lost at sea in a tragic cruise ship accident. Here's the thing. I'm communicating this to my wife at the same time, so there's not any funny business. It's a lot of fun to mess with these people.
What is the end game for the person? I don't know how this works.
They have not led on to what they want. They keep asking me, what do you do for business? What do you do for fun?
How are they contacting you?
Through Instagram. Through Messenger on Instagram. So it's a fun experience.
You're a fan favorite.
I'm looking at the calendar.
No one's catfishing.
Are we going to Atlanta at the end of February? I can confidently say, yeah, I think so. I don't have anything.
Okay.
Do you have a calendar, by the way?
Autumn keeps a calendar for me.
She texts me every morning.
It's great.
Okay. Digital calendar.
If that's the case, we'll talk off camera and confirm with our wives and make sure.
That's fair.
Then we'll pump up the show. We'll go out there and get content. I think it'd be kind of a fun thing.
I like it, Lena. I like it for multiple things. One day,
I don't want to do it for like a week.
No, yeah. One day would be great. We can bring the wives. They would have fun. They would have a great time. All right. You have a poll. And that was one thing that we talked. So we're also going to do this. We heard what you guys had to say on our last show before the break. You guys want to know about polls, like how they end up? Because we keep asking all these questions. Hey, like Acuna Vlad Soto.
Oh, that was on Instagram.
Yeah, that was an Instagram post that we made. We put it up in a couple of places. What was the overall sentiment behind
Soto
that?
Soto, to me, is the pick.
I think Soto was the biggest, buy of anybody. Mm-hmm. There are outliers, of course, for Acuna and Vlad, but Soto seemed to be the biggest one everyone wanted.
Let me set up the poll here then.
Yeah.
So the poll here, Panini Hoops 2021-22. So this year's class, Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes, all the guys, releases on Friday. It's the first real release. I know there's the sticker and the Panini other thing that came out. This is the first real release of this year's rookie in their pro uniform. And the great, you have pricing.
I find this very interesting.
What's the pricing by the way?
Oh, I was looking at the poll. I don't have pricing pulled up. One second.
To me, this is actually going to, and I say this because last year's came out at like $500-$600. It was insanely expensive. Of course, the market was different then. I think you're going to be able to find this for like $225, $200 in LCSs and from Breakers. I think Blowout was like $250, I want to say.
It is, $249.95.
I mean, that is not a horrible price. Guys tell you the rookie class is solid. What was the overall... So some of these options too were added by people, which is fine. We leave it open.
I do enjoy some of these.
And we got like almost 1,000 votes on this. This is a decent. Yeah. So give me the overall sentiment. And I'll take, first of all, let me tell you my sentiment. My sentiment was I'm still chasing last year.
I
still like Anthony Edwards. I still like LaMelo.
Well, and there's a question in mailbag just about this year's rookie class that we can talk about too. But bottom line, you put up the poll just asking like what people's thoughts were on the product. The number one answer was don't care about this class yet.
And I think that's because there's been no pro product. So how do you know where guys fall in line with, like last
pricing,
year?
Pricing, you mean?
Yeah, I can look at last year's pricing and I know, hey, this guy should sell for 20% or higher than him or less, whatever. Mm-hmm. I also, none of these guys are making, I'm not saying the class isn't good. On court, I think people who know 1,000 times more about basketball than I do would tell you it's a very good and deep class. Yeah. Who's your headliners though? Headliners move product. This year, we have not really had anybody come out, not that they're not good, but play for a team, be competitive, have a ton of hype coming in. You got to remember, you're coming in at the tail end of Luka, Trey, Zion and Ja, and LaMelo and Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
Who are those two? We just don't have it yet.
So
that was number one.
What is the overall sentiment, would you say, about Hoop's products?
Yeah, that's weird. Last year burned a lot of people because it came out so high.
What was it?
Oh, it was like $500 or $600 on release last year. It was insane. But I do think at this price point, you're going to see interest. And I think it's going to be available as well. I think there's a retail SKU of this also. I have no problem with Hoops for a couple $100.
Okay.
Give me the next top two or three answers.
Well, so that's why I was asking Hoops you what poops. The overall Hoops equals poops.
Yeah. I mean, again, I if that. It was $500, I would agree. At $200, I
that's
don't.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I just don't think it's horrible. And it's going to sell really well because it's the first pro uniform stuff.
Next answer was minor interest, maybe a break or two. That's all.
I think that's where the majority of people are right now.
I mean, it was a pretty close to the number one vote, actually. So
is there another one that has a lot of votes or is it kind of
the next one up after that? It drops dramatically. But the next vote was Chasing Evan Mobley.
Oh, OK. Yeah. Somebody had that again. Good player. I don't know many guys chasing him right now, but.
And just a handful of people voting will be buying as much as possible.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a so and here's the other thing I think is interesting. I start to wonder with this. We saw the Mac Jones Don Ross cards, mm-hmm. right? $3,500 for the PSA 10s because there were none. I think there's a weird angle here where some guys are going to rip this and hit Cade Cunningham, Mobley, Scotty Barnes and pay obscene amounts of money to get them graded quick.
Yeah.
With the hopes of doing this.
Do you think they'll pay the $300? Or
I think some guys will because they saw what happened with Mac. Yeah, I would just say that's kind of what I was thinking. If you do not buy the first couple of copies of these cards graded, you're going to way overpay. They're going to absolutely tank.
What? No. Buy the first couple of ones graded because if anything.
Not for the high prices though. The first ones are going to sell crazy high.
Well, that's what I mean though. Like,
don't buy them.
Didn't they sell crazy high with Mac? I mean, they were high and then they got even crazier high. That's what I'm saying.
I just think you're playing a dangerous game.
You are playing a dangerous game. That is true. But
I like Hoops in general. And like for collectors, the one thing I like about this, and not to get all sentimental, but I think this is a product you're going to be able to walk into a shop with your 11-year-old and actually buy a box and it's not going to break the bank. Now, if $200 is just like obscenely expensive to you, that's fine, but wax isn't for you at this point. That's kind of where we're at in 2022, right? But I like the fact you can do that. I think there's going to be retail of it as well. I don't care about Hoops personally. But I do like that this really can appeal to a bunch of other people who have just different spends.
I apologize if you said this, but I'm just curious. Does Hoops usually come out before like their Panini Prism?
Oh, yeah. Hoops is almost always Hoops and John Russell, like the first two releases.
But the Prism is the more sought after.
Oh, yeah. But it's also,
much more expensive.
Yeah. As opposed to $200 a box, it's probably going to come out $1,000 to $1,500 a box.
Because I'm looking at these and they would catch my eye if I'm like a college kid or not a high school kid or something like that. I think they look cool, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, if I'm like a real collector, I don't see a lot of these look like the Space Jam cards, like the colors and the
and that's kind of what it's designed. I think it's designed toward the younger demographic because it's like those are the guys who are going to buy it. Which I like. I think it's cool to keep young dudes engaged to a degree and give people a product that is not $1,000. So I do like that.
Okay.
Let me say one other thing too. Speaking of Panini products, Immaculate released last week. Immaculate Basketball and Immaculate UFC. Eddie broke them both. Maybe the nicest looking product of the year.
Really?
Dude, Immaculate Basketball was nice. And Immaculate UFC, I'm not a fighting fan. The cards, like the patches...
So good.
Stupid nice. Yeah,
really?
Ridiculously nice.
Okay. That's kind of cool to know. What about baseball? Because there was a day over the weekend or over the week where you were texting the interns so many different pictures of prospect baseball that I was like, is there something I'm missing? What's going
Friday?
On?
Yeah. So last Friday was a release of Draft.
Okay. Yep. So
massive product. It's actually really, really good.
Is Draft just like, is that what everybody goes after at first? Just because it's has the
first
hottest
prospect cards.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool. So
Bowman's Best comes out this week, I guess.
So there were some, Eddie pulled some pretty good ones. Is that what?
Yeah. Marcelo Mea, the kid for the Red Sox, is huge. I wanted to get a draft guy on here. Feinstein gave me the name of his buddy from MLB. I texted him, did not hear back.
Let's not talk any more about Draft in case he texts back for Thursday.
Yeah, if he hears this, I would like him to come on Thursday because I would like someone to give the angle. And I know some guys don't care about it. It won't be a huge thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be cool. Like, hey, here's the market on these top 10 sellers. Yeah. what do you see for their potential future playing time, promotions? I think it'd be cool to see real world versus market hype.
And I think guys would really appreciate that too. Okay, cool. So that's an option. We're going to mailbag. I just want to say this has gone much better than I expected.
We've only ever done a podcast in the same room together.
Once in Florida.
Florida was a train.
And it was rough. First of all, I didn't even want to be there.
The owner of the VRBO had the thermostat set at like 300. And if you touched it, she was like going to find.
She had cameras watching.
She texted you back and she was just like, if it goes below 75, it's going to ruin the unit. Lady. I guarantee she was 75 wearing a sweater and freezing to death.
That's fair. Yeah.
That place. What a train wreck.
That being said, that was our only time doing it in person. This has gone much better than I ever expected.
I like that we have monitors I can look at, so we're not just sitting here looking at each other.
And the fact that we have looked at each other a few times and I don't feel completely awkward.
Also, haven't touched your face a lot today, which has been great.
And you know why? Because this microphone's so close to my face, I'm afraid I'm going to hit it. So I don't even think to touch my face.
I'm fine with that. You have anything else before we go to mailbag? I had one other thing. Yep, give it. There it is.
I'm good.
No, that was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, again, for the collectors, we are really trying to mold this thing a little bit more toward, oh, just buy this, flip this, and all that stupid stuff. Oh, that's a huge part of it. We'll never stop talking about that. There is one like really cool aspect of this hobby that I think is just like and I'm actually going to start getting back now that it's 2022. I can start selling again because we haven't like closed the fiscal year. I am very intrigued to get back into, and I just sold a bunch of these. I bought them all at the Nationals, as a matter of fact, from our buddy Adam. Adam, if you hear this, by the way, I need to know about table space in Atlantic City. I don't want to push.
He said he's got it.
I thought that was the case. I need like an actual phone conversation.
Okay.
Just to make sure.
Okay.
I have been looking. I don't know why I caught my eye again, but I think it's like the coolest thing going. The rookie reprint autographs of like NFL legends. So there's like a whole set. I got to figure out the name. I'm sure some of the listeners will know. I think it's one of the coolest things going again. Like the Johnny Unitas I had and I sold it. There was a Jim Brown rookie reprint. Mm-hmm. Man, there's a whole bunch of them. Bart Starr has them.
Is there real value?
It's a real card. It's a reprint of the rookie, but it's made by Topps. Or I think those.
But it's still a reprint though.
But it's autographed.
Oh.
So it's basically like, hey, here's what the rookie card looks for. There's two angles here that I think are just really cool for collecting that I think I'm actually going to chase in 2022. And I'm still working on my 2002 Signs of the Times autos. Rookie reprints of like of the Hall of Famers like those guys. They're autos. And then authentic rookie cards that are autographed. So like the Jim Brown 1958 rookie, just the actual card autographed and slabbed by PSA, SGC, whoever slabs it. I think that's kind of a cool...
I do like that.
Market that is, and even other guys, like I would buy an Elway, a Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, like that too. I think there's like a cool market for that. And I'm not telling you they're going to like 10X. I just think that's something I'm actually going to start chasing. I saw a dude post like a whole bunch of these and it was like his PC. And you know what's got me back into it is we've set up the basement now. We ordered the pool table comes tomorrow.
God, I'm so excited.
The bar is installed. We got to go get a couch. She got the chairs. I just think that's like a cool display item. So
I do too. I think it's a talking piece as well. I was going to say something about vintage.
Go ahead.
What's the deal with the pricing on vintage? It is so ridiculously low because I was going to ask you, did you buy anything over the break? Because I did. I went out and I was looking for some more Shaquille O'Neals. In fact, I don't know what I was watching. It might've been Kazam. Who knows? Because AMI watch pretty regularly.
Right?
Doesn't matter. Okay. He is a living legend. That being said, I was like, I wouldn't mind another few rookies. I haven't even looked at the pricing. Last time I bought the PSA 9 rookie was $50.
Oh,
PSA
9
was $50. I was like, oh, man, it had to have gone back up by now. I bought two of them for $35 each. PSA 9 rookie card. And it's not over popular. I mean, there's a decent amount of them, but it's not a crazy amount by any means. I don't know. I just think that's kind of insane. And I think, and this is not a pump and dump because I'm not dumping anything, but I do think that is a card that why not spend $35 on like 20 of them and just hold on
just
to
wait.
Them. Yeah.
You know, the other thing, like a vintage market that went crazy, Sam Jones, he played in the 50s and 60s with Bill Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he won like 8 rings or something ridiculous. All those guys did. Wow. He died last week. His market instantly went through the roof.
Well, John Madden, too.
Yeah, so John Madden's funny. He doesn't have a ton of stuff in the card space anyways, but his market, the stuff he does, went high. I guess that's always my, and not to be morbid, but I've talked about this before, that is always, to me, the one safety net for vintage. If you buy in at a decent price, if they're a living legend, when they die, it's going to spike, and it's going to settle below the spike, but the new floor is going to be higher than the old ceiling. I have not made any big purchases, though, because, again, we just finished painting the house. Yeah. I also carry a huge spend with Eddie. Like, I always try to carry it into the next year, so I don't take on a bunch of money from last year. Oh. I kind of, just to help with my own taxes. But now that I've reset that, I am going to be back on the hunt to start buying again.
Well, the other one that died, unfortunately, very sadly, ooh, Betty White.
I did see that.
Betty White,
man,
died.
Does she have Pop Century cards?
She does not have, actually, no, I don't believe she does. But she does have a card that one of our fans at the National came and gave me.
Seriously?
Yeah, like he gave me one of her Betty White cards, but it's not an auto. So there are a number of these that are actually autoed. And some of them have sold legit, like, let me see, $200, $100. $450 for this graded one.
How about that Taylor Swift CD though?
But the Taylor Swift though. So I'm just saying there's still, if anybody thinks that it's cooled off Pop Century or any of these celebrity cards, I feel like I went on specifically before I went to Shaq cards. I went specifically just looking for what are some like outlier C-list celebrity Pop Century cards out there.
You're not talking about Betty.
No,
you're
no,
a couple grades low. C.
I was not, I didn't start with Betty, but it is before we, like a couple months ago, you could find all these cards graded, even in some cases, $20-$30, even non-graded $5. I cannot find like a nobody card for less than like $30. It's crazy. So it is funny. I am curious to see what 2022 brings for the celebrity card market.
I tell you one other interesting fact. The Bengals have not lost a game since I said they're going to miss the playoffs.
Listen, we got mailbag and we're going to talk a little bit about it.
Then we can be done.
All right.
Oh, can we at least tease the app? Two things, the app and the YouTube.
Yeah, but I feel like that's kind of like underwhelming now.
Okay, we'll save the app. Let's the YouTube the, show.
Yeah.
I do want to announce this because we put on our social. It starts tomorrow. It's going to be a weekly show. We have been throwing around the idea of having a third man in. Again, because we want a super different dynamic than we have here.
Did we not talk about this yesterday?
No, here we didn't though. Are we doing audition or no?
No, remember we talked about this, that sounds like a bad idea. And people agreed that we're not doing an audition, that it would be more like if we find somebody that fits in, okay, we could have them. And
that's right. Never mind. Yep, we're good.
So,
but if you're a celebrity, if you're a celebrity with a huge following and you want to come mess around with us,
if I think you want to stay on permanently. Yeah,
well, absolutely. No, they have to be good. Okay.
Okay. Mailbag.
Yes.
Mailbag it is. Mailbag.
Our neighbors and your haters.
Kind of nervous.
These walls are paper thin. And Jesse is yelling.
I did put up the sound thing. I think it doesn't do a single thing.
Unless you wrap it around your throat. All right. I have 12 minutes. And I have to go.
Yeah. All right. Let's bust some of these out.
I wanted to come on here and do like a 2-hour show first one back just to give people some extra content. That's okay.
You know what they can do? Listen to this episode twice. Chris Shoemaker. Is anyone selling Trevor Lawrence? I think it's time to buy. I think that's not a bad idea.
I mean, he has looked brutal, but I don't think you can give up on him as a prospect. If you're going to buy him, I just wait. Why do it now? He's got one more game. Just wait till the offseason.
Oh, okay. Let me skip to that question. There's someone who asked about the offseason and your comments about it.
Not sharing the screen on this one, I noticed.
Dead silence. I could now. That's true. You know what? I can't find the question. It's in here. So since I can't find it, I'm just going to go on to the next one.
I mean, people love the silence. That's why they listen to the podcast.
Here.
Shut that off right now. Oh, short. I can live with that.
That was a short one. All right.
Just go down the list.
We're going to go down the list. We'll get to the question eventually.
Rapid fire.
Reuben Mitchell.
Yep.
John Madden cards, are those a buy now and hold or wait till the price drops?
Wait till it drops. Next.
Yeah. Alex Furman, shout out from the UK. He says,
stop yelling.
Is there, I didn't yell.
Him. Shout out.
No. That's a good one. Is there a best time of year to sell or buy? I've got some slabs I'd like to consign, but unsure if there's any info or sports boy data crunching, in quotes, available to support this.
I would tell you this, here's a long way around that. I have talked to Chris at Cardladder. We are going to have like a Chris and Jesse segment, heavy segment on the podcast.
Heavy on the Chris.
I'm thinking I'll about the there. First week of every month to recap the first week of February, recap a specific sector, market, whatever. And he can have actual sales data to back it up.
Yes.
To show you what sports are doing what. Obviously, I'm there excited. Are times. I mean, baseball right now, by and large, that is non-prospect baseball is down. Not the time to sell. Football is still crazy hot, especially for teams that are actually going to make the playoffs or could potentially do it. I'd sell football now. If you're looking to sell right now, football's a good sell. Basketball's kind of stagnant unless they're breakout stars that are coming out of nowhere. But in general, basketball's a little stagnant in the middle of the season. Football, I can't speak. Like soccer, football, I can't speak to that. UFC stuff, if you have that stuff slabbed, it seems like that's really hot right now. So yeah, I think a lot of it is seasonal.
So speaking of football and selling, would you agree that you should sell Burrow? Jeremy Judd says, looking hotter each week.
And I keep being wrong about him, though.
I know. You've said it so many times. I mean, he looked good.
Here's what's insane, though. They just beat the Chiefs, who I still think are the best team in the AFC when they click. I mean, the AFC is so wide open right now. I honestly think this is one of the first times.
First off, the Titans are dominating, and it's amazing how good they're doing.
Yeah, like if you told me Derrick Henry was coming back healthy, I think they have the best chance to come out of the East, out of the AFC.
They will.
I hope so.
All they have to do is beat the Texans. Granted, they lost to them once.
I'm saying in the playoffs, though, to win in the playoffs.
I see.
Man, with Burrow, I don't know. Here's the thing. Whatever I say, it doesn't matter. Do the opposite. I've been wrong about that guy every step of the way. But the only thing I do stick to, we're hearing the comparison now. Well, Burrow over Herbert, Herbert over Burrow. They are the same. They're both phenomenal. And we've never seen either one of them in a playoff game. Let's see how they perform in the playoffs. And Herbert might not even make the playoffs. So playing Oakland this week, if they win, they're in. Or not Oakland anymore, Las Vegas.
Curious, do you care at all that the Titans are winning and that they could be?
I root for the Titans third. Bucks, Pats, Titans.
That's upsetting. All right.
My team.
Whatever. Bam Nuju. Bowman draft has been insane so far this year in terms of difficulty of getting a team you want in a PYT. Pick your team. With demand this high, where do you see the price settling? And does this show that the, at least baseball prospect market, is still extremely healthy?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when the lockout happened. Minors are not affected by that. I think the prospect market will continue to prosper. That's a good sign for it. Couple that with the fact that Bowman draft is, I would argue, the hottest baseball product every year. And now also the fact that it's just tough to find that stuff.
Okay.
It's a pretty good class.
Kind of like a perfect storm. For
I think
pricing.
Right now you're probably breaking around I think over the next week to 2 weeks, you start seeing case breaks range around the 4,000 mark total ish. Okay. In that range.
Michael. And oh, this is it. This is the question. Michael Chupsinski.
Chuppy.
When talking about some players' individual cards, you sometimes say, I would wait till the offseason to pick some of him up. Is there a common trend that supports waiting till the offseason? I would think that you should buy now on somebody you think could pop in the second half of a season instead of waiting.
Oh, well, that's different. We're talking about apples to oranges now. Trevor Lawrence is done in a week. Why buy him now? Wait a month. Ja Morant has 3 months left and then maybe the playoffs. I would buy Ja right now because he could potentially play better and have other indicators that make him go up.
Okay.
That's the difference. At the end of a season, though, why would you buy him?
Makes sense. Yeah. All right. Yep. That's clarity. Greg Allison, and here's the thing. I don't know if you'll know this answer because I'm not sure how familiar you are with the Phoenix Suns. Would like to hear your view on who is cardboard relevant with Phoenix Suns outside of just Booker. Suns are nearly tied atop the standing with Warriors, despite COVID players being out.
Yep.
Ayton could be an all-star this year. Cameron Johnson, sixth man, ? Mikal Bridges, defense player of the year, ?
Yeah, Bridges has played really well. He's defensive minded. I don't think the hobby cares about that as much. Chris Paul, if you're just going for a guy to buy and hold and just be happy that you collected him, great. DeAndre Ayton is a big man that's not that exciting of a scorer in general. And I think on that team, he's just a clear number three. So, I don't know that there's a market there if you're getting into it to flip. But I do think DeAndre Ayton is probably a reasonable buy. Like, I know Greg's got a kid who's into cards. If your son was like, hey, I want an Ayton card to hold because I like him, I don't think it's a bad buy. I think he's going to be a relevant top five center the next 10 years. There's not, I mean, there's not a lot of great centers in the league right now. So I think he's good. Cameron Johnson, same thing. Cameron Johnson's given you glimpses. He had a nice spike during the playoffs last year. You know, six man though. I don't expect huge numbers, but I think he's a safe buy.
All you Phoenix fans, you must love this talk. Anybody Booker's, who hates them.
Yeah, Booker's great. I just, you know, again, where is he historically in his pricing?
Okay. Steven Ortiz, this isn't really a question, but it needs to be said. Mike's prediction of Joe Burrow is funny in the sense that I think you fired him up because he's been on fire. I was wrong about him also, but wow, just playing out of his mind.
Ridiculous.
That's just a nice comment. Yep. Andrew Donnelly, demand has been crazy for Bowman draft, but it seems there aren't many normal base hits for the top prospects, i.e. Henry Davis, Harry Ford, Lawler, Mayer. Does Super Jumbo tend to have more hits?
Well, it does have more hits. Super has five autos as opposed to Jumbo that has three. And in general, Super Jumbo has less color, so more of the base.
Oh, okay.
Slightly.
Okay.
It is kind of a myth, though, that Super Jumbos have no color. That's not the case. But Super Jumbos were also printed late this year. Those have always released and shipped on the same day. We still have not received Super Jumbo.
I think the people would like to get your opinion on Heron Hernandez's question. Heron. Should the pump and dump narrative just go away already? If you're, he says dumb enough. I don't really like that.
I do.
If you're not smart enough. No, that's still not nice.
Just say it.
If you're a person to blindly listen to a content creator, don't you deserve to lose your money?
I mean, if it fools you twice, you do. You know, the craze happened. Pump and dumps are still very real, though. Like I said, with that whole Pokemon situation, I think by and large, the number of people involved in that are just trying to pump stuff up to dump their own crap and overall, not scam, but mislead at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, you have seen that happen enough.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to get caught up in it again. I think people are trying to do the same thing. We talked about this a few weeks ago with the ticket market now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you like tickets, cool. I just don't need people to tell me, not only are they cool, they're going to be the next asset class. Just collect them because they're cool. We're still seeing that being pumped, though, by different YouTube shows and podcasts in the space. Every week, there's stuff being pumped. I do think you need to be smart enough at this point to stay away from it.
Like we always say, do your own research.
Do your own research. And I would just say, look into the track record of the people saying it.
That's also true. But also,
and do these idiots ever tell you when they're wrong? Joe Burrow, I could not have been more wrong about. Couldn't have been. I am totally upside down on my Tua investment. I mean, there's a number of things.
Tua did not look good. The other day.
He didn't. I thought they were going to pull out a crazy win and make the playoffs. I was so,
you know what they did? The opposite of that.
Not win.
One more question. How about that?
Two more questions. How about
one,
that?
Two?
I don't know. Just go. Give a couple. Fire them off quick.
Let's look at the camera.
Hi, guys.
We keep forgetting to look at it.
I'm not going to look at it.
Well, you will for YouTube. You have to. So just practice. Ryan Alecki. Copyright laws.
I can know sing.
If that works. If you
I just made up a song.
Brian Alecki, with Fanatics taking over and the real possibility of overprinting on the horizon, I would have to think that 2000 to 2017 cards like Topps Chrome and Prism would hold long-term value.
Agreed. I agree. However, I do think the doomsday scenario of Topps and Panini overprinting going forward is way overplayed just because everything's backed up. They couldn't print more right now if they wanted to.
And with the influx of more people.
Yeah, more people as well. And they're already printing a lot, but they don't have the capabilities right now, the printers, to do that. So I think that's kind of a safeguard to a degree.
I think that I think what a lot of people see is overprinting of things that nobody wants. Like, and that's why it seems like it's overprinting. Dallas James Morrison.
DJM, yeah.
You know him. When it comes to growing a Facebook group, say for breaking, how do you get started? What are a couple main things you should do to grow its membership from nothing?
So this would apply as well to just like buy and sell groups. Our Facebook group, the breaking group, does well. Geo Breaks. There's like 6,000 members. One of the most engaged and active groups around. Sports Cards Nonsense, I think, is up to almost 25,000 now.
But there's no buying and selling on there.
No.
Just to clarify.
Give people content. You know, go live. As a new breaker, I would be doing like previews of product. Like, hey, here's why you should break with me. I'm doing more research into the product to give you better value. My pricing is going to be competitive. My shipping, highlight your good points. Don't do what some of these idiots do where we only pull fire. You cannot control that, right? What I can control is I can always respond to DMs and emails. If there's an issue with a break, I can ship out within 48 hours, protect packages, ship correctly. I can be entertaining when I'm breaking without being obnoxious and yelling about $2 cards. Secure product that your room works. Mm-hmm. Do giveaways that are targeted toward people who spend, not these. Again, the biggest mistake I see, add three people to this room and we'll do a giveaway. You're adding people who are just going to leave and you're wasting your money. I would do what me and Eddie do it is, hey, if you've spent money in the month of December, mm-hmm. drop a one. We'll confirm it. If we don't know the name, that person wins $500 or whatever it is. Yeah. Reward the guys who are helping you build and then take a personal interest. You know, hey, Jesse, ninth break in a row. I saw you buy the Pirates. I happened to get a $10 Cabrian Hayes rookie in my thing the other day. Put it in the dude's package. Like, just give him the card for nothing and build a little rapport. There's a lot of that stuff that can be done.
Okay.
That I just don't think people do because they just see money.
That's true. Okay.
I want one more.
Let me see. Oh, I do have one more.
Give me that one more.
Chris Duff, you made it. You old.
Is he the champion? Oh, who's the champion?
No, I'm gonna give the champion at the end. All right, Chris Duff. He says there were some comments over the weekend about the new NBA draft class and guys struggling to become hobby relevant.
Mm-hmm.
How many guys are truly hobby relevant at the same time? And what does it take for a rookie to crack through? Especially if guys like Jaylen Brown, Spida Mitchell, and KAT are all-star players, but with fairly low card value.
So hype coming into the draft is a huge thing, which nobody this year had it. Even though Cade Cunningham, I think most people agree, is very good. Some of the other guys, Mobley, Barnes, nobody had hype. The most hyped up guy was Jalen Green, and he's been kind of a mess off the court, at least a little bit, and he's playing in Houston, who is terrible.
Is it weird that there's a Jaylen Brown and a Jaylen Green?
Jaylen Blue, Jaylen Red, whole family of Jaylens. You know, what do? Be relevant on a winning team. And even that is not always enough. Spider Mitchell is on a very, they've been great the last few years. Yeah. He hasn't really cracked through that. Although he has some value though. It doesn't mean everybody's going to be Luka, but you've got to come out with big hype like Zion, because that hype will sustain you for months, no matter what you do, or play out of your mind. Like Luka does something we've never seen before. So Cade Cunningham is in Detroit. They're horrible. Green is in Houston. You know, even the kid for, again, I have not done any research. Is it Scottie Barnes for the Raptors? Look that up right now. Honestly, if Ronick was here, he would know. I'm trying to think. Yeah. It's either him or Scottie. The Raptors have a great player. Barnes is... And by the way, I don't care. Oh, you don't know anything about sports? No, we don't. I have not. Until pro uniform stuff comes out, I pay no attention.
Toronto Raptors.
Yeah. He's played really, really well. He's playing for Toronto.
Yeah.
So you need one of these guys to really ball out, to get some headlines and to make some noise. And you need to start seeing product in pro uniform. So Hoops will start that ball rolling.
That'll be interesting to see what happens after product comes out for pro uniform for these guys.
And I want to see what the first Scottie Barnes PSA 10 base card does.
Yeah.
Does it do like $1,000 pop one? Because for that week it was a pop one. I think it gets weird with that. I do think we're going to see Mac Jones-esque type rises here.
Be interesting.
But I would just say be very cautious. I wouldn't mess with it. All right, there you go. I got to home meet a contractor.
Before we end, a big shout out
to
Corey Maine. Corey Maine, otherwise known as CD something, whatever. He is the winner of our Sports Cards Nonsense Fantasy League. I'm not going to say that doesn't. It's very difficult to say that because I was leading this league almost the entire time.
Best record in the regular season. You Drew Brees this thing.
I had the first bye week.
Yep.
And in my first game against Corey, you know, it was a tough match. And I forgot to set my lineup. I always get an update to set my lineup.
I lost.
And the app did not update me to set it. And I totally forgot. And that was the first game. AJ Brown came back and put up like 40 points. And
I lost to it was brutal. I lost my playoff game by 1.5 points because Van Jefferson only got 3 points from me. He played that Monday night. I was like, dude, or Tuesday night, actually needed like 2 points. We do need to have another contest of some kind to get some engagement.
Does Corey get anything? Or is it just a pat on the back? I can't remember. Did we say anything about that?
He gets the third of our salary.
All right. I came in third place. So
no one cares.
Not great. I do want to point out where Mike came in.
Now.
Mike came in fourth place.
We both won zero playoff games. So we're all losers except for Corey. We do need to get a some type of a thing going. You know what I want to do, actually? An NFL playoff pick'em. You have to pick the winners of every game up until the Super Bowl.
How do we do that? Is that just like
through the Facebook
keep track
group.
Of it?
Yep. Oh, we'll have people screenshot entries. Like we'll put a blank thing, write the name, screenshot, or just make your predictions every round in the same post.
Here's the thing. Mike is a great big picture guy, but I don't know if he's thought through
how this is going to be done. We did this for baseball, too. It's very easy to do. We did this for the World Series last year. I did this for the World Series last year.
When we had 25,000 people in the Facebook group?
You can do it here. We keep it open only for a day. You don't keep it open all the time.
Okay.
You get some good engagement. Then you lock the comments. And the week after, you just go with the list of you guys are still eligible. Now you guys are still eligible. That's it.
I see.
Round one, you have to pick all the way through the Super Bowl.
Let's get Denton and Max on this ASAP.
I'll take care of this. Denton and Max, I would like the two interns to focus this week on the top 10 best-selling 2021 Bowman draft prospects right now. I'd like to recap their product.
They better
be listening. You're the only person involved in the show who doesn't have to listen. All right. Again, last reminder, the YouTube show drops tomorrow. Sports Cards Nonsense is the YouTube. My prediction is in 6 months, we are the most viable and best. Well, we're going to be the best show on YouTube after the first episode.
Sure.
But I do think I'm hoping we get some big ratings there. We have some cool features we're going to do there. We'll be back on Thursday for the podcast like normal. Ronica will be back with us. Thank goodness. That's it. We're done.
What would you think about a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday recording?
I don't hate it. Mondays are a tough day.
I know.
Me,
so. I've been leaning more towards it.
I could do that.
New Year's Tuesday, Thursday podcast.
We would have to check that with Simmons.
I can't imagine in mind, but
I don't know who we have to check that with, but I would love that. I also like the mornings. Okay.
Hit him with the
outro. We have Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network and Uncle Bill, and paid for by Spotify. We like them. Make sure you check out our socials. Check out the website, sportscardsnonsense.com. Send us emails of why Jesse's the greatest man on the earth. Goodbye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.